Would you continue to worship with me? We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, people. I don't know what you came for. I think you came to worship God. There's nothing else. It's a post-service, pre-service, today, later, tomorrow, later. Nothing matters like this moment in time. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. The radiance of your glory, Jesus. The radiance of your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify you. Ha. Oh, Jesus, you're here. We worship you, glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the word says that we should lift up his name and offer the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes the psalmist says in more than one place that we should give a shout unto the Lord. Now, I'm not asking you to stand and shout, but I'm asking you to lift up your voice. And some of you need to stand with me and lift up your voice to the Lord and let your voice be heard. There's a time for a quietness. There's a time for a deep meditation, but there's a time to lift up your voice. There's a time to give God the praise. There's a time to let the devil know that you're not going to allow him to continue to push you around. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a time for intimacy, and there's a time for shouting and giving glory to God, standing in the place of his glory. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. The anointing breaks the yoke. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You see Jesus right here. You shut your eyes. You may see the angels. You shut your eyes, Jesus will appear. Oh, he's real. The service is his. Glorify you, Jesus. Even right now, Father, the healings and the miracles that you've promised us, and you recently came and gave to me, I receive. I receive. We receive together. Malachili inda olecha umbaska. Ha! Monsekidis de lochkota. Reach out. Reach past your place of confinement, says the Spirit of grace. For he'll confine you even with your desire to move on. Move in my spirit. For it's not the position or the posture of the body or even the volume of the voice, but it's your place inside of you. It's that kingdom that is a kingdom of resistance against the oppression and against the lie. But if you'll move out of that place and resist the devil from out of that place, he'll flee from you. Your body will increase in strength and in life, and the glory which I promised you, you'll see manifested, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahalasate. For these things are not about to come. For I prophesied these things unto you in days gone by, that these things are about to come, and surely of truth, because I said it by my Spirit. But I say unto you, they are among you. They are among you now. This is the hour. That which was at hand is now in hand, says the Spirit of grace. Manifestations. You'll not record them. You'll not be able to keep track of them all in your mind or in a registry, because like in the book of Acts, these things are among you, says the Spirit of grace. Halach lomande. Ha ha. Hichi blosta. Ha ha. Hiti froma. Hey, hey. Hisata. Moho. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the kairos, the season. Mahoche. Makalasa. I can't. What I say today? I gotta go. I want to speak and can't. I've got to bow my knee. I hope I've got some friends and family and people that want to bow with me. Some of you might not be able to. The position of your heart will be the bent knee. But come on, as we sing this, join me around this altar. And you at home, sit or stand. You're bowing. I know you're bowing the knee of your heart. But some of you will just twist right on around to the seat that you're in. He's getting something out of this. He's getting something out of this. From the posture of your heart. Oh, Jesus. I see it. Sing it, Harry, and don't stop. Jesus. Bodies. You're the Lamb upon the throne. Heal their marriages. Heal their finances. Heal their emotions, Lord. Heal your army. That your army rises up. A new man, a new woman. Jesus.
Forever you.
Says the end result is my strength in you. Believe the word. Believe the word, says the Spirit of grace. See no other image but the one that my word portrays to you. I call you my body. I call you my bride. Standing in my place of redemption, that your bodies are manifest in the healing power, that which I provided, says the Spirit of grace. I see and have provided an end result for your marriages, for your finances, for your emotions, for all things that you'd have need of. See the end result. Ola karese. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself, and stand in the image, the final image, and it'll see you through, says the Spirit of grace. You'll live long lives and profit the kingdom of God. You'll come forth with marriages that'll last decades, go all the way to the end. Hela holomasa. For I've come to restore you and magnify myself in my bride. Hela soko. Revival is now. Revival is now, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as you return to your seat, if you can, and if you need to stay, you can. Sing this with Harry again. Jesus. Hello, Satana.
Yes, I gladly bow my knee.
Jesus.
Worship you, Lord.
Jesus.
I gladly bow my knee. And I worship you, Lord.
He said, doing incredible things. Yesterday was a pretty incredible day. It was stay with me, Harry, and hallelujah. The rumblings of the revival. Hallelujah. Amber, come. Come up here. I figured you know that you're supposed to share. Share what yesterday was like, and then I'll share what our yesterday was like, and there'll be many that'll be able to identify, worship you. Stand right here so we can see you real good.
Good morning. Mike had been gone half the week, so we hadn't really had any normal family Bible time. We do it at least 2 to 3 times a week if we can, and we hadn't really done any. I'd prayed with the kids before bed, but there hadn't been the normalcy that's normally there. And we had plans yesterday morning. We were going to have a great day. We woke up. We were going to go to a barrel race, and then we were going to go to the Swamp Cabbage Festival. And everything should have been wonderful, but for some reason, we woke up, and nobody liked anybody. I didn't like Mike. He didn't like me. The kids didn't like each other. And there was literally nothing wrong. It's just nobody was being nice. And so I was like, all right, guys, he went and got Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast, so we should have been happy with that. But, yeah. I told him, I said, let's get ready. Come on, stop arguing. Let's get ready. And so I went to go get in the shower, turn the shower on. And right as I turned it on, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, shut it down. Shut everything down. You guys are not, you don't got your center. It's not going to be a good day. You might as well shut it down right now. So I was like, there's going to be some mad people at me. So I went in the living room, put my pajamas back on, didn't even get in the shower. went in the living room, and we have a two-story, and I yelled upstairs, "Everybody downstairs." And Mike was in the laundry room. I said, "You get out here too. Everybody sit down." So I said, "I don't know why, but we're not doing nothing today." I said, "We are staying here. I am turning on praise and worship. I'm going to sit on that spot on the couch, and I'm going to pray in tongues until our day is different." I said, "Our moods are different." And I said, "I don't know what it is." I said, "No, there's a spirit." I said, "But we're going to break it." And to my surprise, nobody complained. The kids were actually excited. Okay. It's like we all knew something was going to happen. So we sat down and we just started worshiping, and it was boom, perfect. Holy Spirit came, spirit broke. And if any of you guys know Silas, you know that he doesn't do anything quietly. So I knew he wasn't going to sit there and worship very long. So I said, "Get some of your cars and you can play on the living room floor while we all worship." So we're all on the couches, and it's worship's playing from the TV. So it's just one of those things where you see the pretty scenes behind, you know, the worship songs going on. So I'm praying in tongues. The girls are praying in tongues. And in just a few minutes, and Mike's praying in tongues too. In just a few minutes, Silas pops up on my lap, and his eyes, you could just see where he wanted to cry. And he goes, "You know that you're doing, I think I can do it." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "All right, well, you want to ask the Holy Spirit to come, and you want to pray in tongues?" And he said, "Yeah, I want to do that." I said, "Okay." So, and it was like, it wasn't fake. He started to tear up, and I just said, "Okay, mommy's going to pray for you." And I said, "Holy Spirit, he's ready for you. So whenever you want to fill him, just go ahead." And he prayed in tongues quicker than any of us ever prayed in tongues. So he sat there and he started to cry a little bit. And then he goes, "I want to be by myself." So he went in the corner and he prayed a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And then he just came back with us, and he'd pray a little bit, and then he'd say, "I forgot how to do it." And so he'd look at me doing it, and then he'd start doing it again. But off and on throughout the day, he would come and ask, "Mommy, do it again." So I'd do it for a minute, and then he'd do it in front of me. But praise Jesus, Silas got filled with the Spirit. And then I called Dad. I told Dad what had happened. And he said, "Oh, well, y'all ain't going to beat us. We're going to do something over here, too." So then he had Davey's crew. So then they started doing some stuff. So I'm sure he'll tell you that portion of what happened. But then after we hung up, a few minutes later, and I told Dad this too, Silas goes, "I want to do communion. I don't know if he even knew." And I said, "Okay, buddy." And I just kind of, and he goes, "No, I got my Cheez-Its." And so he handed me the Cheez-Its and he goes, "Pray." So I had to pray over the communion, and we all got cleansed. So the seagulls are good to go.
Thanks, Amber. There's something not in the air. There's something that has changed. When Homer went over a couple of weeks ago and did a meeting at the south side of town at the House of Prayer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him 3 or 4 months ago, and he came to me and he said, "Pastor, I'm having this vision from the Lord of reaching a place that was familiar to me 30 years ago or 25, whatever. And he said, "I believe the Lord is calling me to a certain thing and then to touch that part." And he definitely has a pastoral call upon his life. He also has an evangelistic, strong evangelistic, to preach the gospel to the poor and to do those things. Well, then the Holy Spirit opened up something immediately, and then I went over to support him, and he did an incredible job that night, and he's going back soon. But then the pastor saw me, and because he introduced me in the service, and asked me to come back, and they're having some kind of gala of a month or two of preachers coming in. So anyway, I'll be over there tomorrow night at 7, and we're asking any of you that want to come and not to show up to, you know, say I'm coming to support my pastor, come as intercessors. Because the reason why I gave that announcement is this: as soon as he told me that the pastor asked me to come, and she asked me publicly, but then she got back with him and said, "Well, pastor, come As soon as she asked me, I knew that day or that night or whenever the next day, the Lord said to me, all I want you to do is go there and deliver miracles. So my job's pretty easy. I just got to pray for the sick. This is a time where we can begin to forecast what he's going to do. It's no longer will he show up. He will show up tomorrow night. Marcia came in and shared a testimony of something that happened to her this week and something that it should have been maybe a 6-month healing took place in 2 days. Candy had back surgery a number of years ago, and you've heard her story, how that it tried to come back, and they wanted to do all kinds of stuff. Put a rod in her back, all kinds of stuff. My God, I have known people that sometimes it works, sometimes it makes it a whole lot worse. She started praying and she started walking, and that's 20 years ago, and God came on her. And through a process of time, she walked out of it. We call it the oozing anointing. The oozing anointing oozed out of her and healed her back. That was wonderful. But last week, last Wednesday, just before we went to get Jim and Kathy, I had gone to our tax man and to take our documents for him to do our taxes, and I got out of that appointment and I saw that she was trying to reach me, and she says I've had a really severe accident or something, however she said it. She walks every day about 3 miles, and then she comes in and she started doing some light weightlifting. And she did that, and she walked out in the yard to do something. And she turned, and when she turned, something snapped, popped, or something. It was, and it sent her almost to her knees. And it was almost a replica, just a replica, what she was reporting of what happened 25, 30 years ago when she had to have, when she ruptured a disc. But she said, I'm not receiving this. I'm not going to have it. And so right then, see, here's the thing. Here's what has happened. There's an anointing come that's more immediate than we've ever known before. I thank God for speaking to the mountain and progression, because that's how I've been mostly healed. But something has come out of heaven that changes things right now. Right now. I said right now. And she said, I'm not going to receive this, and right now. And I agreed with her. And I immediately, when the report came, and it was like, this is exactly what we faced, where doctors had to get involved in 6 months of chiropractic care, and then we can't do anything about it. And then you go into, they've got to shave off that part of the disc, and I know all that stuff. I mean, we've been through it, and a lot of pain, and you can't move. You can't even find a place in bed to get your back right. And all that flashed as I was sitting in my truck, and all that flashed. But something inside of me went to a place, as Dave used to say, called done. It went to the end result, and I said, if I stand right now and I don't allow just even a smidgen of this, if I don't allow it, if I don't start contemplating, okay, where are we going to, should we take her in to have her examined? If I don't even start contemplating, but I go to the end result, and I went to the end result with her, and immediately, I mean, we're just in a couple, 3 days, and that's immediate. With those kinds of injuries, just as fine as she ever was before. Hallelujah. Something has come.
When Amber said, called us yesterday, and she said, we've had this thing go on. I said, well, you're not going to beat us. We had Davy's bunch. And we usually do a little prayer time with them at night when they come over on Friday night. But we skipped it Friday night because they were tired. I said, we'll do something tomorrow. And so when she called to kind of initiate everything, I said, well, you've had your Azusa Street over there. We're going to have ours here. I'm not going to let you beat us. This thing's going to skip over here. And we put on that song that Harry's doing. And we begin to worship. I usually ask them trivia questions and think like, we said, well, just go into presence. And a presence came. Glory. Little Ava was sitting. And to start with, she was, you know, back and forth on the couch and moving around. I said, now baby, you're going to have to sit down and you're going to have to be still. But when the presence came, she got real still. She's sitting there. And I had my eyes closed and we were worshiping for about 10, 15, I don't know how long, just magnifying God and praying. And then tongues came on me. And I was worshiping God in tongues. And then we got done and she said, Papa, because she got real quiet. I said, yeah. She goes, I was doing that. I was praying in the Spirit when you were praying in the Spirit. She got filled right there. So now all my grandkids, all 7, 8, keep adding to them, they all pray in tongues now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What do you want me to do? My life said, these services, we're not going to try to make them different. Try to make something different just to make something different doesn't work. But revival services, he's already said to me, keep your Sundays real open. I love notes. I study, you know, we teach by notes. We'll give you many verses sometimes. But he's already told me to keep these Sundays real open so I can move laterally either way, any way he wants to go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't be concerned about, you know, if we have greeting times or whatever. Sometimes we will, sometimes we won't. If you have to empty your bladder, do it real good before service. And if you have to during service, that's fine. Because sometimes you think, well, I got, in about 20 minutes, he'll let us do that. Routine is something we don't know around here. Hallelujah. Accept the power of God. Would you lift your hands and magnify you, Jesus? Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lamb upon the throne. Jesus. Gladly. Worship you alone. We will, in just a few minutes, give you an opportunity. It gives some people an opportunity to, and our kids and all that. So sometimes it works out best. But he said, do this. Do this now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometime this week, as I was praying, and I encourage all of you, this isn't just me and it's not just a special place, but the word says that he will show us things to come. Trials, tribulations, and heaviness will stymie your creativity in God. Do you understand? And I think you do, but let me encourage you that He's always out in front of you. If you live any in the past, you're not where God's at. God's not a pond. Somebody said, well, He's a well. Yeah, but He's springing up. But God is a river. And He's always looking forward. You're always going forward with God. There's always life. It's teeming. It's teeming. People came and I know Jim had it right with people thinking about they couldn't remember or they were having problems. And we've all faced that at times. And sometimes the enemy will come at you. But you know what I found out? One of the things, and this is not an accusation against anybody that stood in line. I think at times I would have stood in that line. But you know, one of the things that'll begin to affect your memory and all kinds of things, especially your creativity and hearing, is a lot of care. You're not exempt from being attacked. But when you begin to allow care to weigh you down and your concentration is on the matter, it'll have a weight upon your, you know, in Him, there's such a freedom. And when your mind gets free, it gets real creative in God. Hallelujah. So understand this, that He really, God is, He's way out there in front of us. Now in this outpouring, I'll say this, we're all going to be used. But as fivefold, as the shepherd of the church, now He's the shepherd, but I'm the shepherd, the pastor. If the shepherd is praying, then what he'll do is he'll continue to show you and lead you so you can lead the sheep. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And they're just doing what they need to do, and I gave them permission to do that. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't wake up. Here's the thing. If you're going forward with Him, you shouldn't just wake up in the same world every day and say, okay, I'm just going to try to make it through this day. We weren't created to make it through the day. My God. We were created to get into His presence, and then Him, He won't talk to you very... Part of Him loving on you is intimacy, but then after He leaves off with intimacy, He'll start showing you things to come. And that's not eschatology of revive of the end time revelation knowledge. It's your personal life. Where He wants you 6 months from now, where He wants you to live, where He wants you to be, where He wants you to stay or do or be, or all kinds of things, the Holy Spirit will come. Why? Because He wants those appointments to be right on line so that you're walking in His will and His mind. No left turn, no right turn, this way. Okay, now time, turn, no. And this is all out in front of you. It's not supposed to be guesswork. And that's where you need point men. And I'm one of those point men. And we've got point women and point elders, and women and men are praying that are helping me. But you've got to have somebody. Hallelujah. Malakarese. Where He comes and says, this is where we're headed. He started saying something to me about the first of the year, and I was trying to catch it. Then I, after a time of prayer on Thursday, I sat down and I didn't know He was coming on me until He came on me. And then I began to prophesy on paper. And as I began to prophesy on paper, I could couldn't write fast enough, but I heard these words just as distinct as I'm hearing my own voice right now. And I wrote these things down. And I'll ask you to give it a listen. And then we'll pray, because he wants to pray for a certain group of you. And those of you that are watching as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know we're going long for the kids. Jesus, we worship you. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. The Lord began to say these things to me, and this is very important, because some of you really, 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 all of us need to hear this, but some of you even more. He said, this is a time or a season of restoration, says the Lord. Even as the nation, listen real close. Even as the nation is receiving an overhaul in its financial systems, my plan is to bring forth a great reformation in the prosperity of my church. I heard this just as plain. I'm just sitting there trying to write this out. Do you think, he said, that I would plant a massive harvest of the planet and leave out one of the most important mechanisms necessary to fuel this harvest, which is the prosperity and stewardship of my church? Search the scriptures and see that one of the first things that I added to the infant church was the financial giving necessary to establish what I wanted to see done in that present revival. Do you think that signs and wonders and healing miracles and salvations are the only component of this end time revival? I am a God that plans meticulously for what I set in place. Finances, financial prosperity, and restitution are all part of my current plans for the revivalist church. Satan has used the past 4 years to bring great financial hardship to my church. He has sought to not only destroy the personal property of prosperity of individuals, but to destroy the anointing of stewardship among my revivalists. Do not underestimate the premium that I place on the financial restoration of my revivalist for the purpose of this harvest. Do not just equivocate revival and miracles or revival and the harvest. Think miracles and restoration and finances as well. Change your way of thinking, says the Lord. There are at this time many parallels that are taking place in this nation that parallel themselves in both spirit and natural, in material and spiritual. Understand that prayer, intercession, and the synergy of past generational moves have brought about this start of the greatest revival this world has ever known. Watch what I'm doing. Listen to this. Watch what I'm doing through the authority of your president currently concerning the finances of this nation. And then you will understand that I am presently doing in the financial restoration of my body. Because what is happening in the natural began first in the spirit, and now I'm asking you to see the parallel in the spirit for my church. For your nation to be healed financially, I am first revealing the waste that has destroyed the prosperity for decades. I must first identify and reveal the waste before I can add to the prosperity. It does me no good to add blessings to waste. I'm coming into my body with the correction of my word and spirit to identify the waste and excessiveness of the past flesh that the enemy used to help destroy the prosperity that I had planned for you. And I hear many of you answer and say, that excessive spending has been cut off for years now because of hardship. But understand this, that excess and wasteful consumption has not stopped because you mortified yourself to stop it. It is only because you no longer had the means or excess to spend on the flesh. But understand this, that correction is only the first step to prosperity. Receive gladly the chastening of the Lord, and if you do, you will see what your nation is scheduled to see in the years ahead, a time of great restoration and prosperity. I desire all to be wealthy beyond your present condition, but many will become excessively wealthy for the purpose of fueling this great harvest, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to do something, and then we're going to let our kids go for a little bit because the service is getting half or well past. And as soon as he spoke this to me, then he also gave me direction. Because I saw in my spirit that God wants to heal a lot of finances. Now, some of you have done okay. Some of you have done real okay. But some of you not so good. And some of you not so good in a really not so good way in the last 4 years. But Marty was talking to me, and then he was telling me something, and it had a little bit to do with this. And then I said, I just seen a vision, Marty. And I said, I see how the service is to end. So the service won't end here, but he wants to do it now. And by the way, as soon as I was sitting there, because I'm always saying, Lord, what do you want to do with our services? So immediately when I was sitting there and not there, office, but in prayer, when this prophecy, the Lord said, take your Sunday nights. And he took me back to a recent series. I say recent. Gary Carpenter did it in 23, and it started in August or July. And so there's 25. They're all on finances, kingdom stewardship, kingdom finances. And he did a revamp, or the Holy Spirit took a bunch of old teachings and retaught them. There was nothing wrong with the old ones, but he was able to put it in digital format. But there's 25 of them. The Lord said, take your Sunday nights and invite the people, ask them to come. We'll have the PDFs. You can sit. The first one starts with, from formula to relationship, or is it fellowship or relationship? I think it is. So we're supposed to view these. There's a healing coming, and a prosperity coming. If you heard the last thing the Lord says, I desire all of you to come to a place beyond where you're at. And he starts in the healing and the restoration. Don't even think about how you need to do this in the natural. This has got to be received in the spirit to start with. Hallelujah. So we won't start tonight, but we'll start next week with our assignment. But right now, and this won't take long because I'm just supposed to pray over you, and then we'll fellowship for a minute and the kids can be dismissed. We may have a little bit more. Yes, Lord. So anybody that wants me to pray over them, I'm not telling you I have some kind of debt breaking anointing or something's a a genie's going to pop out of a bottle and you're going to be all rich. I'm telling you, because of what he's given us this morning, I'm supposed to pray over you. The Bible says if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Anybody that wants this, please come and stand here in front of me. And some of you say, you know, I've done okay. We're not talking about okay. We're just talking about if there's something that needs to be adjusted in a very powerful way. And you're part of this. You want to be part of the stewardship of this revival. What are you saying? I'm just going to pray for everybody. Thank you. So just, you can all just, I don't think anybody's going to fall. I'm just going to thank you so much for checking though, guys. I appreciate that. Just step up here close a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Kev. Man, you're healed in Jesus' name. Man, stretch your faith this way. This gives me the opportunity. And all of you, step. Well, hallelujah. Do you believe that this anointing has come in an immediate way?
I feel it now.
You feel it now. In the name of Jesus, I command all stroke symptoms reversed. I command his arms and his legs completely restored in the name of Jesus. I release the fire of God in his body, the burnout, weakness, and command in the name of Jesus. This thing comes to you now. Be healed, Kevin, in the name of Jesus. Be restored by the power of God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Manifestation. Even now, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. He says, I feel it now. I believe that he wouldn't lie to me. How many of you believe that the prophecy that I received really was a prophecy? That the Lord wants to come and heal our finances. So right now, I'm praying over all of these and those that are watching and those that are receiving the word of this prophecy. That you're the one that's coming in this time to heal and to restore for the stewardship of this revival. In the name of Jesus, I speak and release the glory over their lives. Financial restoration and restitution in the name of Jesus. All the assignments that have come across the body of Christ in the revivalist. In these last 4 years, through demonic demise and all kinds of operations of devils, I speak in the name of Jesus and I break these things through the power of this prophecy and of your word in the name of Jesus. I speak and I say that no weapon that has been formed against these will prosper, and every tongue that has risen against them, we make judgment now. And we say that their righteousness and their prosperity is of the Lord. Lord, we pray that angels, battalions and myriads of angels will be deployed even after this service. And even now that you'll come for those that are watching and those that are here. That Lord, financial restoration in the name of Jesus. We speak and we release that life to them. We command it done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. How many of you feel better? Amen. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants us wealthy. That's not a bad word. That's not something we have to shy away from. That doesn't turn us away. He wants us wealthy for this outpouring. Hallelujah. We can do, well, I don't have to preach the prophecy we just heard. I'll just let it stand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Greet someone, but don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. You say, well, it's not lunch buffet time, no. We got 45 minutes. It's only 11:15. Hallelujah. Junior. Hallelujah. Kids can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Pastor Jim and Kathy had a great time, and their ministry was blessed, financially blessed, and we thank you for that. And Stephen had a birthday. Stephen, stand up. Let's all sing to Stephen. Can we do that? This is our buddy. I mean, tell you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Stephen. Happy birthday to you.
Hallelujah. We love you, man. Thank you. Love you so much. Mary, thank you for bringing him today. For you being... What's that, man? You had some work, medical work done. He's will be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we didn't take that time to take up an offering, and that exhortation was not for an offering, but... Please, if you have anything today, let's just pray right now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but remember your church. Remember your church. Remember this ministry. Because we live by faith. We just live by faith. So remember to bless it. Father, we thank you. Touch their hearts. Give them the amounts. You'll send it in. You'll bring it in. You'll touch the hearts of men and women. You'll give them the amounts today or whenever they can afford it. Lord, I thank you that they won't be without. They won't be at loss, nor will we be, the corporate, the house, the church. Thank you for this offering. We receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if you can, and if you want to give, then just give at the end of the service. I think I walked past some that dropped off during that greeting time. That's a good time. If we greet, you can drop it off. If you want to give, and all of you want to give, just if it's a season at the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See what I have. Thank you, Jesus. No church tonight. We had a great week, so no church tonight. It's amazing. Don't you love to hear that from the Holy Spirit? He's just really real. Just really real. And Father God is real. Jesus sits about right over there in my, I got a really nice prayer room. Jim walked in, he goes, "Oh my God, if I had one of these, I just love." I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm praying for you, Jim, you get one of these." He has to do his down in it's got a basement little cubicle. Hallelujah. See, he's more saved than I am, isn't he? It's a great guy. Wasn't that a wonderful week? But Jesus sits over here, and the Holy Spirit, he just roams around that office. God the Father's in there. You know, if you don't treat them like people, they don't become people to you. But they're God, one God. Hallelujah. Run from somebody that doesn't believe in the Trinity. He's one God, but they're agnostic. You know, somebody said, I know more than you, and I can quote more scripture than you. And you might be able to. But here's the thing. It's not what you know in your brain. It's what you know in your spirit. Hallelujah. And Paul said this. Paul just instructed Timothy. Somebody said, "Let's talk about it." Well, I'll talk about it if you want to talk about it. But if you want to try to debate, you got two chances. Paul said after the second, uno dos, after the second admonition, like we've done talked about this twice, he said, "Have nothing else to do with them." In other words, if they want to debate, if they want to straighten, if somebody wants to straighten me out, well, they can straighten me out, but they better straighten me out by like, "I don't like your the way you teach or approach." They need to tell me, what is it about the word where I've missed it? Exactly where I've missed it. And they better keep it in context. But even after they want to straighten me out, I'm not going to go into a relationship with anybody online or any place. I've told people before, listen to me if you like me. If you don't, I'm not telling you, but just don't listen to me anymore. Turn it off. Just turn it off. You got a real easy, just turn it off. But I'm not going to argue with you. And that's not to anybody in here. It's really not to anybody out there, per se. Paul said, Timothy, after the second admonition, if they're a debater, if they like to debate, it's not a debate club. He said, after the second time that you've tried to express what you believe is truth, then have nothing else to do with them. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. There's so many things that the body of Christ is hearing on. I wish I had my cell phone. I'd say that they're listening to all. You know, everybody's a preacher now. Jesus. Everybody's ordained themselves as a preacher. And I don't listen to it too much. And I don't even have Facebook. And that's not wrong for you to have Facebook. I'm just not as sanctified. All the fast I've done, I've realized once somebody tells me what they read on Facebook, I think, oh my God, give me that phone. I'm going to tell them right now. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. If you're not mortified enough to have it, don't have it. I'm saying, I can't have it. Can't have it. It'll take too much of my time. I'll be trying to tell somebody just how, Jesus. Well, you can unfriend them. I get, what do they call that? Unfriend them and stuff? I wouldn't have but two friends. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Don't believe anybody that tells you that water baptism saves you. That's another one that's going. That kind of makes a circuit, doesn't it? Water baptism is wonderful to testify, but to believe that it completes some kind of part of your born again, like I was three quarters born again, but this makes me fully born again. That's demonic. That's right out of hell. Don't believe anybody. If you run across that and you like the guy before you and he starts teaching that, don't ever go back to that stuff. The baptism in Romans 6 is not a water baptism. It's a spiritual baptism that you were baptized in Christ. And the moment that you were come out of that spiritual death, baptized into his spiritual death, you became spiritually alive. Water didn't wash your sins away. Jesus' blood washed your sins away. It's important. We're going to probably have one. But Paul, if it was the most important thing, Paul wouldn't have scratched his head and said, you know what, I can't even remember who I baptized, because he didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that because there's a lot of quirks out there. I like to either make people mad when they listen to me because they've been listening to devils. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the thief on the cross, when Jesus said, you know what, don't die, buddy, because somebody's got to sprinkle you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Then he went into Abraham's bosom. Was you planning on doing this? No. But it must necessarily be. He went into Abraham's bosom, and there was millions of them, starting from Adam all the way through David and Moses. They were in the center part of the earth. You don't read of any baptisms that they had. You know, I'm preaching the gospel to you. The word says in Peter, he went there and preached to those souls. How many of you believe that every single one of them got born again? I don't think any of them said, you know what, I'll wait for the next train to come through. You're the Messiah. And whatever you say, yes, you're just crucified, glorified. I think chronologically he must have stepped over there right after he was on his way to physical resurrection, because he had already paid the price. God raised him up. If that spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall likewise quicken. And really, if we got into it, he that raised up Christ from the dead was that life, that born again life, that spirit. But then he stepped over and he said, okay, I got to preach to all of y'all. I don't know if he said y'all, but he led captivity captive and gave when he led captivity captive, he also gave gifts unto men, the ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say, okay, we're going out of here, but boys, we all got to go through Jordan. You all got to, we got to stop. My blood was pretty good, but then we got to stop. We got to lead this train, and you got to somehow, all of you've got to spiritually go through Jordan and be baptized, because nobody can be born again unless they're baptized. Why are you making such a point of it? Because there's stupid devils out there. And you'll get some men that'll preach so good, and they'll lead people up, and they'll make them think that if they're not baptized, then they're not born again. How many of your friends and family received Christ? They were later killed or died early, and they never. Yeah, I've been baptized. I've been baptized 2 or 3 times. I was baptized Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then Jesus, and then I think baptized back Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, when you're going through those things where you're anybody can talk you into anything, you'll vacillate back and forth. Well, did I get baptized right? Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. How you doing, Harry? Isn't Harry great? I wish Marty and Gata had 10 more Harrys and Roberts and all the girls. And Gay says, ain't no way. Do you want to pay for him, Pastor? No. Listen, I better say this now because I don't know where I'll go here in a minute. But I plan on letting you out at the right time. Homer wants to share something that's personally on his heart right after service. We'll say goodbye to our family and friends watching. Not now. But he's thinking that maybe 10 minutes and you're just at the most, he says. Now, how many of you believe Homer saying that? Okay. We'll see. But just if you want to stick around after we close down, and he's going to share. We'll see what that's all about. Okay. But if he asks, I'm going to definitely let my associate and buddy do that. So house of prayer tomorrow night, anybody that can make it, Harry's going to come and play for me. No Sunday night. Brazil next. Did I even look at it? But you had it on the Brazil conference was on the video this morning. How to get to it? It's going to start a week from Monday, and for us, the time is 5:30 p.m. And the reason being is that they're in a different time zone, and so that's going to squeeze some of you to be able to watch it. But anybody that wants to watch it, it'll be 4:30 out Tulsa time or west the further you go, and then of course it gets earlier and earlier. But great week. I'll be speaking, Gary will be speaking, of course Alan will be speaking, and just those are wonderful times, and we it's Monday through Sunday, and so I'll be involved all week that week, and I'll only be preaching or teaching a couple of times, but I'll be supporting except for Sunday and Wednesday. Hallelujah. Listen to this. And I want you to go out of here today, and you'll go out of here in 26 minutes. But listen, you must go out and you must live the rest of your life that you have to live with a determinate belief that you and Jesus are the ones that are in control. You are the one that is in control of your destiny. No matter what your body preaches to you, no matter what your finances preaches to you, no matter what any other voices come to say to you, you must come to a place where the Lord and you have come to a place of intimacy that you realize that nothing nothing that is present tense or things to come or any other creature is able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, Romans 8. And if you know that, and if you stay in His presence and you begin to decree and to declare, folks, I'm asking you, and He's asking you like never before, open your mouths. Some of us, and I'm just going to say, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but sometimes people just talk, but they don't use their mouth for the right reasons. Get alone with God. You don't worry about people hearing you. It's okay. That's called open confession. But get along with God, alone with God, and decree the end. Spend hours if necessary. But you'll walk in a swag like you never, or a sense of absolute. He wants you to have an absolute. Where any other voice, people or demons or anything, just have no persuasion over you. Listen to what the psalmist said. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is what? He names nine things here. The Lord is my rock. Everybody say, He is my rock. The Lord is my rock. Number two, He's my fortress. That's all right. You can say it, my fortress. He is my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, yeah, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Hallelujah. How many of you believe it? Amen. Go ahead and say it. Amen. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now don't think men here. Think demonic demise, the preaching of your body against you, saying this is not going to work. It's not going to help. You're never coming into health. This is not going to change. You're just going to die, or it's going to get worse. You're going to get debilitated where you can't do what you want to do in life. Those are all enemy voices. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Then the earth, here's our God. Here's our God, and this is a place of intimacy, and this is why we continue to say, go into prayer, go into prayer, go into prayer. You cannot know this secondhand. I can't give you this. Only you can get to know this as you get to know, only you can receive this as you get to know Him and stay in His presence. Then the earth shook and it trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was angry. There went up smoke out of His nostrils and fire out of His mouth, devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yes, and did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place, and His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed, and hailstones and fire, coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in His heavens, and the highest gave His voice, and hailstones and coals. This is God rendering His judgment for you. When you stand before Him and say, you know, I'm not going to take this. You know it, Father, and I'm not going to take this. I don't know how many of you walk. I've got a pretty good size prayer closet, but I'll walk in there. I'll sit for hours, but I'll walk in there and I'll declare. And by the time it's done, my declaring, Jesus, If it was David said, if it was legal, I'd feel sorry for the devil. Because I know something changed. Hallelujah. Decreeing his word is speaking his word and commanding the end result to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look how David's progressionary confidence continues as we read this psalm. The Lord also thundered in heaven, his highest gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomforted him. If you look at lightnings here, this really, he's talking about his angelic host. The lightnings, the word here in the Hebrew is the sword. He sent a sword out in the spirit realm and discomforted them. Then the channels of waters were seen and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me. How many of you have ever been in many waters? That's like you can't count how many things it seems like are coming against you at one time. You know, if you get sick or if you get this or that and the other, then you can't hardly work. And if you can't work, then you can't pay your bills. And if you can't pay your bills, then somebody's mad at you. And then you get in bad relationships with other people. And then all that starts coming around. Hallelujah. How many of you know there's a lot of wealthy people in here? I hope wealth just fell all over you this morning. He sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. Here we go. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness of my hands, has he recompensed me. For I have kept the way of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. How many of you know also that walking in righteousness gives you the right to claim these things? Hallelujah. I didn't get enough amens. You can't sip suds on Saturday and come in and claim the promises on Sunday. Let's get our S's straight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I kept me from my iniquity. What's my iniquity? It might not be your iniquity, but what was raunchy and nasty and things that I'm not trying to confess anything, but whatever you used to do that was your deal, and you said, all right, I love the promises of God, but Jesus, don't touch that. Don't touch that little ditty. Then this man comes in with us, says, touch, go ahead, God, and just touch everything. Just go ahead, roll the carpet out to the Holy Ghost and just say, Holy Ghost, if you find anything in there, run it out. Run it out. Just whatever you find, we ain't hiding nothing from Holy Ghost. It's all yours, Lord. Go ahead, just take a big, no, don't take a little flashlight, Lord. We don't want to, just take a big old spotlight and just search all in there. You see, Pastor Jim, boy, he really hit it too, didn't he? We talk about all these other hidden outside sins, but one of the big ones is, harboring offenses about people. I don't drink, I don't steal, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do. I'm Lily White. Oh, but brother, if you got something you're holding against somebody, and it's burning on the inside of you, I'd rather you suck a sud than do that almost. But don't do either. Hallelujah to Jesus. My grandkids are looking at me like, Papa, you're just a little bit crazy. Hallelujah. Look what he says here. Hallelujah. Where was I at? The cleanness of my hands. Which one? 24. Okay. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with, he says, the pure, or and with the upright thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou shalt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now he just gets, the longer he gets, the longer he goes, he just gets real stirred up. He stirs himself up. He just gets stirred up and he says, for by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It goes from a place like, you've made my feet like hinds feet. Hinds feet's that little sheep, that little goat, and it's just like I gotta just barely step here, and I'm going whoop, I might fall. To you've made my feet like in a wide place, and by you I've run through a troop. You go from a don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. Don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. Don't hit me no more. Don't make me sick no more. Please don't hit me again. To like, hey, 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 devil, you ain't got no right in this house. You ain't got no right over my body. You don't have any right over my marriage. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't saying enough to me. I'm fixing to go to a black church Monday. I'm trying to warm up. Y'all better get me warmed up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now, Homer, he don't have any problem. He's already there, but hallelujah. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? Or who is a rock except our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh me my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon the high places. Teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is just broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able. Now, we're not talking about people. We're talking about spiritual demonic forces that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose against me. Thou hast also given me the neck of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried. Now, this is a spiritual warfare. Psalms 18 is a spiritual warfare of our decrees and the injustice that God hates the enemy. I hope you don't think that God kind of even has any compassion towards demons. Now, he loves people, but God hates the devil, and he hates what he does to his people. And the vengeance is carried out in Psalms 18 as we see this, that God wants you to listen. When you get the devil, one of the things that happens, and we got just a few minutes, I'm going to let you out probably early. When a lot of times when Christians start winning a battle, it's like, whew, they let off. Don't let off. Pursue your enemies. And when you think that you've got them crushed, if you think the thing is gone, if you can think of something to crush him even more, it's all right for you to enjoy tormenting the devil. Because he's done enough of that to you and I. And time's gone by. Too much. I pursued my enemies. I overtook them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I wounded them that they were not able to rise. Listen, I love Jesus. He's so compassionate, but he's a warrior too. You better know Jesus in 4 or 5, 6 or 8 or 10 different capacities. You better know him. You better know him as a lamb, but you better know him as an angry warrior against your enemy. For thou didst gird me with strength unto battle. 40, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. Then did I beat them, small as the dust before the wind. Folks, let's win battles in this year that we've never won before. And let's just beat them small. And just beat them small. And just beat them small. And just beat them small. If any of you start having some great victories financially or physically, don't back up. And don't back up from church either. Some of y'all can't get here because you live 1,000 miles away. But some of you need to be here. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish Miss Callie Pearl. Where's Miss Callie at? Somebody act like her. Somebody say it. Hallelujah. Say it, Pastor. We're almost done. For thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people and hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The stranger shall submit themselves unto me. The stranger shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. This is really, if I wish I had the time to teach this, this is part of the harvest. Submission, not people submitting to me or you, but coming in under the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yes, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Last verse. Great, great deliverance giveth he to his king. That's all of us. And showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I'll remind you of your invitation that Homer gave. Anybody wants to stay around, please, if you have something to give, some of you give online, and maybe this is a time for you to give after service or whatever. But if you want to give today, you can come to the front, or I guess there's something in the back for you to drop something off. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity, for giving, and also mainly for what you've shared with us in so many different facets of your goodness and your love to us today. We commit this day to you. We bless you. We bless your people. God, we pray that you'll continue to pour out your financial blessings as we have agreed with your prophetic word. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.